thankful for that. I'm amazed sometimes at the abilities that people have. Groups just form and work together, and got a quartet working on some things that just been thrown together, and trios and duets and solos, and seems like you just throw anybody together in this church and they can sing. I appreciate what God has given us. We should never take it for granted. And I appreciate the songs that sung as well. I don't know that there's any bum songs ever sung in this entire church. I'm glad there's scriptural songs. Don't have to worry about it. I believe we come in and we are supposed to lift up our voice in singing and praising, are we not? Is he worthy this morning?
Amen.
Yeah, he's worthy this morning. I believe with all my heart he's worthy. All right. We're going to go right into where we've been preaching on strengthening our foundations. And it's been, I'm hoping that the reason that the attendance has locked off is because of sickness. That's what I'm hoping. If it's because of the preaching, it's still because of sickness, but sick of the preaching, maybe. But we're not trying to be harsh or mean. We are trying to be plain, and we don't want no misunderstanding. But I believe that we're in a time that our foundations need to be strengthened. We're living in a day when there is no stability anywhere. There's no stability in our country. There's no stability in our homes. There's no stability in our schools. There's no stability in our personal life. There seems like there's nothing. We fall by the wayside. You see people falling all the time, quitting. It is a normal thing anymore to talk to someone and say, "Well, I used to go to church." That's one thing. But when you talk to someone and they say, "Well, I used to believe. You know that's bad when you talk to someone and they say, "I used to believe," and there's no belief in them now. That means that they're in a sad shape, hard place. And we don't want that to happen. We want to be strengthened. We want to go along together. And again, I encourage you to stay in here and listen to what God has got for us, that we might strengthen our foundations down at the house, here and even in the church house. It's not going to do us any good to run 500 people if it's on a weak foundation. We've got to be strong. And I encourage you again to look at yourself, because this church will never be no stronger than the weakest member. Then the weakest member of the church, that's all the strength the church will ever have. It's all riding on individuals making up the chain, okay? So let's pay attention to our own life, look at our own heart. And it's easy to look at someone else and say, "Boy, I'm glad they was here when the preacher preached that. And I'm glad he said that because they was here." Let's not ever be guilty of that. Let's take it ourselves. I talked with a man this morning, 6:30. I stopped and got a cup of coffee, and seemed like God has placed him in my path every Sunday morning for the past 3 months, 2 months. And he's very readily looking at others. He'll tell you right quick, "You need to pray for this one." In fact, when he sees me coming, "I'm glad you're here. You need to pray for this one, and this one." This one, I ain't even in reach yet. I ain't even able to talk to him yet. And I asked him this morning, I said, "Do you ever look in the mirror?" "Well, yeah, look at my hair, how nice I look today." That's what he told me this morning. I said, "No, I mean in the mirror that shows what you are." I said, "You're the one that needs prayer this morning. Won't you come and go with me to the church? Won't you come to Jesus?" And no more discussion. That was the end of the conversation. But I want us to understand that it's more than just coming to church. It's more than just looking at others. Maybe we need to examine ourselves this morning and strengthen our foundation. We okay with that this morning? Let's pray and get right into the Word of God. Father, I come, and Lord, I realize my inabilities today, my unworthiness. And Lord, I know that I can't do anything. Lord, you warmed our heart this morning with Sunday school and with singing. And you're worthy of our praise. And I'm so glad that I don't have to worry and fret about Monday. You're already taking care of Monday. You're taking care of today. Nothing that I will face am I going to have to face alone. You already know all about it, and I sure appreciate that this morning. Now, Lord, if you would cleanse my mind and my heart, I don't want to be a contrary to your will in any way. There won't be a hindrance, and I'm asking that you'd help me today. Lord, if you give me that special touch I need of power from thy Holy Spirit, God, I cannot preach by myself this morning. May our ears be open now. May our hearts be attentive. May we not just hear with our ears, but may we hear with the very depth of our soul. And Father, I'm praying, and as you speak to us, that we'll not push it aside, that we'll listen and be obedient, and we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, and amen. Have on the board, if we can get some help there, Psalms 11, verse 3. And I know you may not have your Bible. We want you to see that what we're saying is in the Word of God this morning and help you out just a little bit. Psalms chapter 11, verse 3 has been our text. And it says simply this: if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We have to have a strong foundation this morning. We have to have. And we have been trying to relate the foundation to the common foundations that we use here in the concrete. And we looked at the men and laid the men out as gravel. That's one of the components of the concrete. And how that they are broken and in littler pieces. And we as men ought to be broken. We can't be prideful. Pride goeth before destruction, goeth before fall. And we don't need a big feeling spirit. We got to understand that we're nothing. We understand that we're nothing. God's everything. And men, we need to be men. We need to be full man. We need to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. But we need to be clean. You don't put dirty gravel in concrete. It makes it weak. We need to be clean. We need to be clean in our mind. We need to be clean in our heart. And that's what we looked at. Then we looked at last Sunday. I know some of y'all wasn't here last Sunday. Y'all took that plague that come through. And I heard, I don't know that this is true, but some of the women missed purposely last week. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just a rumor I heard. Your husband's the one that said it, that's why. All right, but we looked at the women as sand. That's a component of the concrete. And they're broken even in smaller pieces. But what we also looked at, that they're fine. Ain't they, fellas? The women are fine, ain't they? Huh? Ain't they, fellas? It's going to be dinner time in a minute. You better listen. They're fine, aren't they? But they're broken more. They're broken more in smaller pieces. That's their makeup. Their makeup. A gravel is stronger than the sand. And that's their makeup. And we are supposed to make sure we take care of our ladies. Take care of our women. Because they're not going to be no better than what you are. And what the example you said. See, we as men, our example is Christ. And we're supposed to be like Christ and love like Christ. And he is who the image we was made in. But the woman was made for man. And if you got a problem with your wife, then you need to look in the mirror. You need to look in the mirror because you're the problem. That's why your wife has a problem. That's why the women have problems. We okay with that? We're not going to preach it again. We might need to, but we're not going to preach it again, all right? Then we look at the next component. The next component for the concrete is what really binds it all together, and that's the cement. The cement has to be. Now, if there's no cement, you know what you got when you put water and gravel and sand together? Mud. You hearing me? If you don't have Christ in your home, if you don't have Christ in your life, all you got's dirt and mud. That's all you have. You got a mess. And you can't build anything on mud. You got to have the Lord Jesus. Now the Bible goes on and says in Psalms 127, Psalm 127 verse 1 says this, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." See, except the Lord build the house. Now you may have a good home. You may be lost this morning without Christ, and you may have a pretty good home. You may have a loving wife, a loving husband, good kids. Now I'm going to say that you don't. But you can never have a Bible home without the Lord Jesus. You'll never have the home that God wants you to have until you have Jesus. You'll never have a complete home of love or a complete home of peace or a complete home of contentment until you have the Lord Jesus in your life and in your home. Now you may excel, you may make money, you may have a beautiful place to live, beautiful yard, you may have respectable children. But if you're ungodly and your children are ungodly, you have an ungodly home and you are a puppet on a string by Satan. That's all that you are. You got to have the Lord. Except the Lord build the house. Then you'll labor in vain if you try to build it any other way. Psalms 128 says this, verse 1 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." Verse 2 says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." Verse 3 then says, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." You know what will cause the wife and the children to be productive and to be good? And the man is fearing the Lord, and the wife's fearing the Lord, and the children are fearing the Lord, if they have the Lord in their house. Now, there's some homes today that the wife is the only spiritual one in the home. In fact, the majority of homes, the wife is the most spiritual in the home. That's not always the case, but there's more women that come to church than men as a whole. If you got to go see somebody, invite him to church, it's usually the husband. It's usually the wife that comes by the preacher and says, "Could you talk to my husband? Could you go see my husband?" Because they are proud and strong and don't think they need the Lord. But there are occasions where the woman is the one that has missed out. Maybe she comes to church. Maybe the man's a spiritual leader. Can I tell you that the man's supposed to be the spiritual leader? Supposed to be. And if not, then the man's out of place. And that foundation is out of course, the Bible said. But you know, there's many a home that the parents come, but their children are nowhere to be found. Children won't come. I've had parents tell me, and I don't understand this, but I have parents tell me that they cannot control their children. And I said, "Well, how old is your children?" Well, you'd be shocked. Some say, "Well, they're 7. Wait a minute, you can't control a 7-year-old? I've had some tell me, "Well, they're 16, and you know how they are." I said, "Yeah, I know how they are." "Well, what do? You jerk them up by the nape of the neck and bring them to church. That's what you do." You say, "Well, I don't think you ought to force them to go to church." You force them to go to public school. But do you do that where you don't have to fool with them at home? And if they don't come to church on Sunday, then you got an excuse not to come. Huh? But when they get 25 and they're strung out on drugs or a drunkard and got 5 or 6 husbands or 5 or 6 wives, then you call the preacher and say, "Can you help my kids? There's much I can do for them." It's your responsibility, husband and wife. It's your responsibility, mom and dad, to see that your children are in church. You ought to have a rule at your home. If they're under your roof, then they're under your control. Huh? There's a rule at my house. You live under my roof, you go to church. You eat at my table, you go to church. You drink my water, you go to church. You use my shower, you go to church. You can sit there and bull up, but you're going to do it in church. You're not going to do it at the house while I'm at church. All right, that okay? I wouldn't have thought this would have been tight. We're going to talk about Jesus. Huh? We're not talking about just anybody. We're talking about Jesus. Except the Lord build the house. They that labor in vain is no good unless the Lord's building your house. Well, what kind of house do you have this morning? Is the Lord the head of your house? Is the Lord the center of your house? You can't build it without the Lord. Look over in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 5. Said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Y'all know what that means in English? It don't matter what it means in Hebrew and Greek. You know what it means in English? You can't do nothing without the Lord. And you know what it means in any other language? The same thing. You can't do nothing without the Lord. Why is that? Because he's the one. He's the main one. You're weak without the Lord this morning. You don't have no ability without the Lord this morning. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 says this. Verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And if we look on down to verse 18, we'll just stop with the first phrase. And he is the head. How about we just stop right there? He's the head of everything. You can label everything else under it. He's head of home. He's head of man. He's head of woman. He's head of the house. He's head of the church. He's head of the government. He's head of the world. There's nobody more in authority than what the Lord is. You got to have the Lord. Now, when we think about him being the cement that brings everything together, when we think about him being the one that makes everything bond, it's supposed to bond. See, it's not the normal. It's not just gravel. It's not just sand and dirt. But can I tell you this, that to make cement, there's a proper way that cement is made. Cement just don't happen. Cement's made a purpose. And you know, our Savior this morning didn't just happen, but he was made on purpose just for me and you. That he was made because we're sinners and we're weak and we're unworthy and we got to have somebody. We had to have something. So God made a Savior. Now he used some things that we was had understanding about. He used man. He used a woman. He used a woman to house his son. He was made of a woman. He had flesh, looked like a man, was a man. He was 100% man, but he was 100% God. Suffered like everybody else suffers. Tempted like we're tempted. Then went further and suffered more than anybody else and endured more than anybody else and went through more than anybody else so that nobody can say that he don't understand. He went further. Further than anybody's ever went. That's talking about Jesus this morning. If you look and see how they make cement, we'll give you a little lesson. I'm sure you'll love this science lesson this morning. You take limestone, lime, and you get it and you mix it with clay. And when you go mixing it with clay and you grind it and you put it in a, they kind of put it in a big bin. It's got these rollers that mash it real fine and it mixes it all up together. Now when they get to mixing all that together, I want you to think about this now. They take it and they mix the sand and clay and limestone all together and crush it and blend it. Then they put it in a furnace. And that furnace is 2,700 degrees. And they cook that stuff all together. And it comes out in hard clinkers. That's what it looks like when it comes out. Then they put it in these other rollers finer and they grind it up finer than powder. That you can take a sieve that won't hold water, that'll hold water. Y'all know what a sieve is? Like that thing you sift flour with. Take one that's so fine that it'll hold water and cement will run right through. That's how fine this ground. 3 billion particles, or 300 billion particles to an inch. That's how finely it's ground. That's ground fine, ain't it? That's fine stuff. But you know, there was a Savior. Think about this Savior this morning. Who was mixed up, if you would, a little bit, and had mankind in him, made of the flesh, if you would. And they ground him like nobody'd ever been ground. He suffered there on the cross like nobody'd ever suffered. And there he died for our sins, and he was really put in the furnace of fire because he suffered hell for me and you this morning like nobody ever suffered. But when he come out on the other side, they went through and they ground him, if you would, and he ground him as he was in that tomb. But when he come out, he was something that could be purchased. He was a purchased, wonderful Savior, if you would, that added to any mix will make it as solid as can be and get stronger every day. But you gotta mix it. You gotta have that mix inside of you this morning. See, it's the Lord that makes the difference. We can have all the church building we want. We can have the pretty woodwork and the carpet and the pews. We can have everything we need, the lights, and we can have the internet and the projectors and a grand piano. And all the singing, and we can sing all the songs and have the hymns. We can do it all. That's great. That's wonderful. But without the Lord, it's dead and void. There's nothing there. You can have the greatest home and the greatest, prettiest wife and the handsomest husband and the best looking kids, but without the Lord, your home is dead and void and without anything this morning. You got to have the Lord. It's the husband's responsibility to have the Lord. You need the Lord. So when the boys look at you, they look at you and say, hey, my daddy's a man of God. And the woman needs the Lord, that your daughters can look and say, oh, my mom, she's a saint of God. She's a prayer warrior. She's the perfect image that God wanted her to be. But you got to have the Lord to be it this morning. You can't do it yourself. You got to have the Lord. The Lord is the one that makes the difference this morning. Without him, you're just old gravel and old sand, just dirt, that's all you are. Can I tell you this morning, we don't like to hear it, but we're nothing without the Lord. We're nothing without the Lord. And no matter how high your IQ is, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. I don't care how high your IQ is. You hearing me? You need the Lord this morning. Do you have the Lord? People say, well, only weaklings are Christian. Oh, how foolish people are. How foolish people are. The Christians, how many lost people you know will stand up for what they believe and go stand without being tied in a bucket of tar and let them light it and just stand there and let it burn? Lost people don't do that. But they've been thousands upon thousands of Christians that stood for the Lord Jesus and would not bow down to man for nothing, but would gladly step over in on a big kettle of oil, tar, and let them light it and stand there and clap their hands as they met Jesus, burning for the faith. Many of them. That happened. The Catholic Church put to death over 50 million documented people, documented names. Over 50 million, the Catholic Church put them to death. You know, we think Hitler was bad and Stalin was bad, Mussolini was bad, and not near, and Saddam Hussein, not near as bad as the Catholic Church. You don't hear that said. You don't hear that said on the news. Fox News won't say that. So they're all Catholic. You hear me? Say it, Christians are the weak. Can I tell you that without the Lord, you're weak. Without the Lord, you're weak. Bible tells me that with Him, I can do anything. Without Him, you can't do nothing. So who's the strongest? With Him, I can do anything. Without Him, you can do nothing. Think about it. I'll take the Lord. The Lord makes a difference. I read in the Bible where the Lord makes a difference in people. I look at individuals. Now, I don't know what the other disciples had, but Peter, I know, had a mother-in-law. So he had to have a wife, because nobody in the right mind would have a mother-in-law, not a wife. Right? Y'all agree to that? Huh? That wouldn't happen. So when Jesus went and healed Peter's mother-in-law, I know he must have had a wife. So we use him for an example. Peter was a good man. Good, hard-working fisherman. The Lord come by one day. And he went to following the Lord. Now, I'm not going to split hairs with nobody. I'm just going to read the Bible as the Bible says. He followed the Lord. He knew who the Lord was. He even made a statement that you're the Christ. He knew the truth. We all right so far? Everything okay? Had a wife. No doubt he was telling his wife all these things. I allow that if he had a wife, it would have been abnormal had he not had kids. I don't know if he had any kids or not. The Bible don't say. But if you're going to presume, I'd presume if you have a wife, you're going to have kids. Right? Everybody with me so far? But you know, there was a problem I found. Even though he followed the Lord, he's like a many other home this morning. He followed the Lord, but there weren't no change. Yeah. There weren't no change. There's many a husband and wife this morning that go to church, but there's no change. There's many a man that walk through the church house and say, I know who the Lord is. I know what is right. I know what the Bible says. I know this. But there's no change on the inside. There's many a woman that do the same thing. They come to church. Yes, I know. Yes, I know who Jesus is. Yes, I know. I told my kids. I told them you need to believe in God. We got a big epidemic of telling everybody, well, I believe in God. Yeah. Right. Can I tell you, you can't get to God unless you go through Jesus. Right. For there is but one mediator between God and men, that's the man, Christ Jesus, the Bible said. Peter was this same way. But you know what happened at Peter's last little discussion with Jesus? Jesus said, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Wait a minute. He's done been following the Lord. He's done been preaching a little bit, teaching a little bit. He's been the right-hand man. But Jesus tells him, when you're converted, then you can strengthen the brethren. Converted means changed. We okay with that?
Yeah.
Peter was a cussing fisherman. Jesus was arrested, and Peter was a cussing follower. Weren't no change. He just wasn't fishing. He was following. We okay? What the Bible says. Right? Then after he repented, went out and wept bitterly. Then he was a different man. Then he started helping others. There was a change come down at old Peter's house. Huh? I'm here to tell you this morning, there's a lot of homes this morning that follow in name. There's a lot of men and women that's a follow in name, but there's no change on the inside. And can I tell you today, if Jesus comes in your house, there's a change in your house this morning. There's a change. I read on in the Bible, and I find about a man by the name, him and his wife, Aquila and Priscilla. They had a godly home. Jesus had made a difference in their home. They got run out of Rome for being Christian. If you read about them, every time you find Aquila and Priscilla, you know what they was having down at their house? Church. Read about them. They's having church down our house. You know what we have in our house a lot of times? Hell. We got hell in our house, not church. We okay? You can't fight at church. That's what they say, right? You don't fight at church. You know why we fight at church? Because we fight at home.
Right.
You can't get along down at the house. You ain't going to get along at the house of God neither. Amen. We okay with that?
Yeah.
Priscilla and Aquila, every time you mention them, it says, and the church at their house. And the church at their house. Can we have church at your house? What if I just call you and say, hey, we're all coming down your house tonight. We'll watch the Super Bowl. Huh? Have church and have a quick devotion and watch the Super Bowl. That'd be okay. Huh? Somebody don't let all their out of our tires. We can get home. We okay? Y'all looking at me, listening to me this morning? Do we want church at our house? Or is our house too good for everybody to come? Some of our houses are too good for everybody to come by. It's not in shape. Some of our houses, wait a minute, I got to know in advance. Can't have church at my house unless I hire somebody to come and clean it with a dozer and a backhoe. That's what's wrong with our lives. We can't have church down at the house cold of our lives, cold of our heart. We okay? Because it's not church down our house, it's hell down our house. It's quiet there. Huh? You don't fight and holler and squall and scream. Huh? You don't fight, squall, and holler, and scream down at the house, holler at the kid, you bunch of heathens. Come to church, and the preacher can say, you bunch of heathens. Huh? That's how we do. That's why our foundations are weak. Because our homes are weak. We okay? That's why we have trouble in our heart. Huh? The Lord makes a difference. Everywhere I find, the Lord makes a difference. Everywhere I find the Bible, the Lord made a difference. He kind of was a man, couldn't go home. He was a maniac, didn't give his name. He had to live in the graveyard. Wasn't allowed back down at the house. Wasn't allowed. But Jesus come by. He come by him in just a little bit. The devil was gone. I wonder if the devil ever left you this morning. Devil ever left you? Devil left him, and he said, go back down to the house and tell him what all happened. And he said, no, I'm going to follow you. He said, well, then go ahead and tell it in 10 cities then. Huh?
Yeah, right.
Does that make a change in you? Or is the devil still down at your house? We're talking about Jesus making a difference. We okay this morning?
Amen.
Huh? Amen. The Lord's one makes a difference. He'll make a difference in your home. He made a difference in a maniac. Centurion come to Jesus. He said, I got a sick girl, but I'm not worthy for you to come and heal her. He said, she's already took care of. Your faith is done. His home was changed and Jesus didn't even go by. He just heard about it. But he believed. Are you hearing me? You know what made the difference? Jesus. Has Jesus made a difference in you this morning? Has he made a difference in your house? Has he made a difference in your heart? Has he?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Has he made a difference?
Yeah.
I wonder where I would be today had the Lord not made a difference in my home.
Yeah.
I wonder where I'd be today had the Lord not made a difference in my daddy's home, in my papa's home. Can I tell you a real quick history this morning? My great-grandfather come from Kentucky to Burnwell, West Virginia, to work in a coal mine. There he had my pawpaw, Bill Sechrist. They left Burnwell and moved to Winona. And there my grandfather, my great-grandfather worked in a mines in Winona, a Methodist preacher, started raising kids. And when my pawpaw was not yet out of the sixth grade, my great-grandfather died with a heart attack. Dropped dead, just a young man. The boys had to go to the coal mines to make a living. Before he finished the sixth grade, my grandfather had to work in the coal mines to help provide for the family. Just like everybody else at Winona, the majority was noted for the church, it was noted for the pool hall. My grandfather got attached to the bottle. And he would go from Friday night until Monday morning. As long as you'd set a jug of moonshine between his feet, he'd pick a guitar and sing. Work all day, Monday through Friday. Set a jug of moonshine between his feet, jug of liquor. And they'd play music all night, Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday. That was the way they lived. The way they lived. Grandma back at the house praying. And all the boys, heathen. The girls, heathen. Some of his sisters, they run beer joints themselves, own beer joints themselves. Some of my papa's sisters. All right? Listen to me now. But on a Sunday afternoon, at a cottage prayer meeting in a house, after church on Sunday morning, they was praying, having singing and praying after church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
My papa went by. Grandma said, come in and sing. He went and sung. She said, before you go, let's pray. She prayed and heaven come down and Jesus come in my papa's heart. Stood out in the yard and cried. Shoes, soles out of the shoes of his feet and knees out of his breeches. Church bell was ringing and him standing there crying. Grandma said, what's wrong? He said, I want to go, but I won't be welcome. Something had changed in his heart. He had laid drunk for days, all for years, for Friday through Sunday.
Right.
But something changed and he wanted to go to church.
Yeah.
Right. Huh?
Right.
And they said, you go on anyway. So he took Mama and my daddy and my Uncle Kenny. He went down there to the church at Keeney's Creek. When he started up them old long steps, the people run out of the church and started hugging on him. Said, we've been praying for you, Bill. Glad you're here.
Amen.
You know what made a difference in his home? Jesus.
Amen.
Made a difference in his home.
Right.
Then he started raising kids. Heathen kids again. My daddy goes off, goes to Korea to tell Gunner on a bomber during the Korean War. Mean as sin. Mean as they come. Thought and drink is all my daddy knew. All that he knew. Come home from Korea, nobody even knew where he would be. But he knew where he was for months after everything was over. Here he shows up. Mama and Papa laying of a night praying, weeping and praying for their son. But on a Sunday night at the Cotton Hill Baptist Church, when my papa was preaching on Moses crossing the Red Sea, my daddy was there at night and he said, you come on, boy, and cross over to the other side. And my daddy stood and walked down the aisle and Jesus changed his heart.
Amen.
Changed his life and had become a Christian home.
Amen.
Got a picture of him and mommy there in my desk drawer, being baptized arm in arm down there at the creek behind the church house.
Amen.
You know what made the difference in my papa? Jesus made the difference. You know what made a difference in my daddy and my mama? Jesus made a difference. Then we come along. Now, I didn't know the house of a drunkard. I didn't know the house of sin. I knew that I was supposed to come to church, and I'm a blessed man on account of it. I was saved at a young age. But oh, I was prideful. I was hard-headed and prideful. Me and Cheryl Ann got married. And I was mean, in a mean-spirited, had a temper that I'm not. Hot temper, fast temper, smart aleck, more than I'm sarcastic now. We didn't live like we were saved. We didn't live like Christians. We didn't go where Christians went. I'll tell this, never forget, we went and seen a movie at the movie house. We done married and went and seen the best little whorehouse in Texas. Well, we went and watched the Burt Reynolds movie. We was over at the patio, Mom and Dad's, and Papa come over, and we sitting there on a Sunday. Somebody said, what'd y'all do this weekend? Well, we went to the movie house. And then I went and bragged what we saw. My Papa got up and walked off. A little bit later, he said, hey, Mark, come take me up the road. So I went and got the car out of the garage and we went up the road and hadn't got out of sight of the house. He said, did I understand you went and seen some whorehouse in Texas? I said, yes, sir. He said, that's not going to happen no more, is it? I said, no, sir. No, sir. Yeah, never, neither. Huh? I ain't watching it on the TV. I ain't going to do it. I think about it every time I see Burt Reynolds or Dolly Parton. You hear me? You know why? Because I had professed that I was saved. Saved people didn't do that. We okay? But me and Cheryl didn't live like it. Until 1982. We'd have been married for over a year, year and a half. Things started eating at me. Eating at me. Then the spring of 1983, I got down in the living room floor of our home. Give her all to Jesus. Give her all to Him. And He's made a difference in our home. He's made a big difference in our home. March of 1985. Told him I'd go wherever he want me to go and preach as long as he want me to preach. And this March will be 30 years. Be preaching and pastoring, trying to tell an old story. You know what made the difference? Can I tell you what made the difference? Jesus made the difference. But He made the difference back in Grandpa's life. And He made the difference in Papa's life. He made the difference in my daddy's life. And then He made a difference in my life. And we grow boys up in. We got boys ready to quit church. Saved at a young age. Marcus saved at a young age when I pastored to Carl. Marcus leads Philip to the Lord there in our yard. Philip calls me on the phone at work and I thought something was wrong. And it was him on the phone. He said, Daddy, I did just get saved. Boy, that's a phone call you'll never forget.
Right. Huh?
But I was busy doing good. And Cheryl Lamb was left to raise them. Listen to me. Working 70 hours on average a week. Never home. Preaching revivals 14 weeks, 16 weeks a year. Working all them hours, and Cheryl have to raise home. Now, I'm doing good. I'm doing right. But my boys are being raised up without a daddy. Even though I was a pastor and they went to church every day. You listen to me this morning?
Yeah. You're right.
We instilled it best we could. But something had to make a difference. Marcus gets with Brother Rick, and not till we come to this church. And because of your influence on my oldest boy, he quit his job, told me to sell his new truck. He went down there to Bible college.
And God called him to preach. Huh? Got him a wife. And I didn't have to call this morning and say, Marcus, are you going to church? Him and his wife had done got up and they got on his bus and he went to church. And them two boys are in church this morning. You know what made the difference? It wasn't daddy that made the difference there. It was Jesus that made the difference in his heart right in there in the old sanctuary. And his home's right. Are we okay?
Amen.
And then I got Philip P. Heathen. Hard-headed heathen. Huh? You ever want to talk to someone stubborn? Talk to Philip P. You hearing me? We okay? Hold on, I'm about done. Philip P. gets married. Marries the best girl in Nicholas County. Mommy and daddy's. Your mommy and daddy sitting right there. Won't y'all know y'all had the, that's one of the best girl, if not the best girl. Y'all ought to be tickled to death with Lindsay. Godly all the way. That was water and fire getting married. Opposites, huh? Hear me? And not until trouble, not until a young marriage don't know what they're going to do, not until Philip P. decides it's going to have to be God's way, and they'd be here this morning if it wasn't for all of them got the flu up their house. Are you hearing me? Don't have to ask him and call him. Are you coming to church? You know what made the difference? Jesus made the difference. It ain't us that makes the difference. It's not us and our great influence and our wonderful wealth and knowledge. It's Jesus that makes the difference this morning. When I'm off doing good, Cheryl's trying to discipline the boys and a godly woman staying home and to be a marred and to be lifted up. Huh? I'm doing good messing up. Sometimes you can be too busy, not worried about your home. We okay? The home was made before the church. And our crumbling foundations in the White House and in our country is because they've crumbled down the house. It's because husbands ain't godly and because wives ain't godly. And we're raising ungodly children. Huh? We raise undisciplined children. You know why children are undisciplined? Because parents are. That's why. We okay? We're talking about except the Lord build the house this morning. Except the Lord build the house. We're talking about Jesus making the difference this morning. Just quit. How's your house? How's your house? Husband, is Jesus in your heart this morning? You're the head of the house. Is he in your heart this morning? Is he? Young person, is Jesus in your heart this morning? Is this your last year of school? You're a senior in high school? You're going to be an adult in your mind this spring. All right? That's what you'll be in your mind, and that's what society will tell you. When you turn 18 years old, you'll be an adult. Huh? Be old enough to vote. You'll be a normal man. But if Jesus hadn't made a difference in your life not long ago, you would be a mess. You'll find you a gal somewhere. When you find you a gal, make sure she's a Christian gal.
Yes.
Of like faith. Yeah. And then let the Lord build your house. Huh? I look here at y'all. Y'all's supposed to be adults. You don't like it, but you're supposed to be adults. Both immature. Don't know nothing. I'm not being cruel. I'm telling you the fact. You've never been nowhere, done nothing. You've never neither. You think you love her? Huh? Well, you think you love her. You don't know what love is. You ain't old enough to know what love is. Wait, you're about 45. Huh? What you about there? You think he's the best thing since sliced bread? We'll talk long before that day ever comes. You a preacher? You sing, teach, do all. That's great. That's wonderful. But if the Lord don't build your house, I don't care how faithful you are yourself, if the Lord don't build your house,
yeah.
You hearing me? You okay? Y'all all right with me this morning? The Lord's got to build the house. Is he building your house today? Is he building your house today? I don't care how strong you are, how smart you are, how pretty you are, how it don't matter. Is the Lord building your house today? If the Lord's not building your house, then your foundation is either already crumbled or crumbling. Huh? The Lord has got to make the difference. What about you this morning? What about you? Huh? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is the Lord building your house? Moms and dads, this would be the best Sunday in the world to grab a hold of one another and find you a place around this altar. Say, God, you build our house. You build our house. You be the center of our house. You be everything to us. Be the best day in the world for you to do that this morning. You know? The home's what important. Husbands and wives. Loving the Lord. Loving one another. Serving to one another. Serving the Lord together. That's what makes it. What makes it this morning? But the Lord is the one that's going to make the difference. Is the Lord in your house? Do you have heaven at home or hell at home? Huh? Need to think of that this morning. Responsibility. Responsibility this morning. Father, speak in our heart as only you can. For anyone that be lost in this church house today, may they understand that you're the only one that makes the difference. It's got to be you. And I'll thank you and praise you in all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's